For such an infamous historical moment, we rarely ever think about how the Salem witch trials affected areas outside of Salem. They spread throughout Essex County, affecting settlements from Danvers to Gloucester, dragging far-flung residents into the madness. More than 200 people were accused of witchcraft, and 20 were executed. Although I'm sure many have heard of it before, and we've certainly covered it here on Lore, I'll run through the basics one more time just in case. A culmination of xenophobia, religious turmoil, and social conflict all came to a head in January of 1692, when Reverend Samuel Parris's daughter Betty started having fits. Now, the fits seemed to spread to her cousin and her friends, and soon accusations and confessions of witchcraft were flying. The witch hunts had begun. The Court of Oyer and Terminer for Essex, Middlesex, and Suffolk counties was formed on May 27th of 1692, and after the execution of Bridget Bishop on June 10th, there was no going back. I have to wonder if Salem, as a community, even crossed Martha Carrier's mind before 1692. It's true that the European settlements were in contact with each other in the New World, and people did move between them, but Martha was born in Andover, Massachusetts, almost 20 miles away. Her parents had been among the original settlers to the area, and although we don't know much about her childhood, we can assume that life was very difficult. The next time Martha appears in the historical record, she rocked her hometown with a scandal when she married Thomas Carrier, a Welsh indentured servant, in 1674. The problem wasn't her choice in husband, but that Martha had already given birth to their first child well before they set foot before a priest. That might have been what led them to leave Andover for the town of Belrica, Massachusetts, or maybe it was better work opportunities for Thomas. Either way, the couple lived there for several years, building a life and having plenty of children. Eventually, the Carriers returned to Andover and moved in with Martha's family. According to some stories, it was because they owed money. They'd been told to pay 20 shillings per week or leave town. Others say it might have been smallpox that drove the Carriers out. If that was the case, it followed them back to Andover. In 1690, there was a serious outbreak of smallpox that seemed to begin within the Carrier family. Miraculously, none of them died, but the disease spread, killing 13 other people. From then on, the Carriers were looked at with suspicion. That would come back to bite them 2 years later, and so would Martha's infamous temper. Martha was all too willing to make her opinions known and was seen as combative. Later, after 1692, people would recall that livestock and neighbors became ill after disagreements with her. Ben and Sarah Abbott purchased land near the Carriers in 1691, but both families argued heatedly over the property line. Martha lost her temper and cursed at Benjamin, who developed sores all over his body and swelling feet not long after. To make matters worse, several of Abbott's cattle died. Still, Martha might have flown under the radar if it hadn't been for her brother-in-law, Roger Toothaker, who was living in Salem town at the time. Toothaker was a healer and self-proclaimed witch finder. Maybe he should have kept his proclamations to himself, because in May of 1692, he was accused by Salem's frenzied girls and thrown into Boston jail, where he died due to its horrific conditions. In mid-May, Martha's neighbor, 11-year-old Phoebe Chandler, said that Martha's specter had been threatening her, and she could hear her voice wherever she went. When Phoebe fell ill, Martha was arrested. She was the first in Andover to be brought in during the witch hysteria. During her examination in Salem Village, what is today the town of Danvers, she continuously professed her innocence. But the accusing girls, who had become sort of supernatural barometers of witchcraft, reacted violently after being in her presence. They said they could see the devil and ghosts surrounding her, 13 ghosts to be precise, reminding everyone of the smallpox victims. Another accusation, that Martha attended witch meetings and was in fact the Queen of Hell, was made famous by Reverend Cotton Mather in his account of the trials, The Wonders of the Invisible World. Carrier's own nephew testified against her, and up in Andover, the tide was turning against the whole Carrier family. Several of Martha's children were brought to Salem, where they were interrogated, likely tortured, and then thrown in jail. The youngest was 7 years old. Each of the children testified against their mother, terrified and traumatized after their treatment by the good folks of Salem. On August 16th of 1692, the Queen of Hell was hanged alongside Reverend George Burroughs, John Proctor, and many others on Gallows Hill. She proclaimed her innocence to the end. Like so many other families in the aftermath, the Carriers fought to have Martha's good name restored, finally succeeding on October 17th of 1711. Still, many family members fled the Puritan heartland, looking for something better. And maybe it was best that they did. Their descendants had a better chance away from the taint of the trials, and the Queen of Hell was forgotten. Still, without brash, outspoken Martha Ingalls Allen Carrier, we might not have gotten one of America's greatest mythmakers. Laura Ingalls Wilder likely didn't know about her infamous distant ancestor, but the Ingalls family had been inexorably woven into the ups and downs of American history since the beginning, right down to the most chilling moments. This episode of Lore Bites was produced by me, Aaron Mankey, with writing and research by Ali Steed and music by Chad Lawson. Lore Bites are perks offered only to our Patreon and Apple Podcast paid subscribers as a thank you for such generous support. Look for new episodes of Lore Bites each Wednesday morning. Be sure to follow the show on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Just search for Lore Podcast, all one word, and then click that follow button. And when you do, say hi. I like it when people say hi. And as always, thanks for listening.